We've been focusing on lament. And it's been painful, but for most of us, this subject hits a chord with the reality of life as we know it. A while back, when I was in my early 30s, I see some smirks on faces, several years ago, Nick, it was 2 decades ago, a little over 2 decades, all right? I remember telling a wise mentor, older, wiser mentor of mine, that I felt guilty because I had pretty well lived a charmed life, suffering-free, burden-free in so many ways, and I asked him about that. And I remember him just looking at me, not having to say a lot, but just simply replying, "You're still young." And that was great advice. I can now say that I know deep pain and lament. Several weeks ago, I stood in the foyer in front of the Wailing Wall and cried out to God out of a heart, a breaking heart, that now knows deep pain, who knows how to lament. I spent time crying out to God with questions to the point that I feel like God had the right to strike me dead, but God didn't. And it was at those times in my deepest despair and deepest lament that God met me and continues to meet me in the deepest way. I mean, how do you wrestle with something? Think of your worst fear and those kinds of things have happened, of somebody that you're supposed to protect, only to find out later that unbelievable things happened to this person, and you should have prevented it, but you didn't, and you couldn't, and now you're dealing with the pain of that. And I ask God, why? Why would you do this? And this loved one asked, why would God allow this to happen? During Lent, we've explored this concept. We've heard from the psalmist who cried out to God, "What are you doing? God, what is going on? Where are you? Why are you absent? Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you protecting? Do you even care? Are you even there?" The reality is that we have a God, a triune God, that has entered fully into our experience, into our pain, into our suffering. We have a crucified God. In the words of Martin Luther and people like Jürgen Moltmann, none of this impassibility, that God somehow turned his back on a son because the Father could not be connected with any kind of pain and suffering and sinfulness. And so the Father, you know, I grew up hearing that. And there was something about that that just didn't ring true with the God that I knew in the deepest, when God met me in despair. That did not seem to be a truthful thing. We have a crucified God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote from prison shortly before his execution by the Nazis. He said, "God lets God's self be pushed out of the world onto the cross. He is weak and powerless in the world, and that is precisely the way, the only way, in which God is with us and helps us." Matthew 8:17 makes it quite clear, Bonhoeffer wrote, that Christ helps us not by virtue of his omnipotence, but by virtue of his weakness and suffering. Only the suffering God can help us. That is a weakness, and that is a suffering. That is a reversal of what the religious person expects from God. Very powerful words. So, what's our response to this God who meets us at the deepest points of our despair? Well, this text today may help us to begin to understand that a little bit. From Luke chapter 18. And you're going to be reading a lot today. You're going to be participating a lot, whether you came, signed up for that or not. You are, hopefully. And so I'll read the text today. We have several texts that we'll read in our practice that we're going to engage in. And I'm just about through with my message. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Listen and reflect. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Some form of this prayer, of crying out to God for mercy, is prayed by the lepers who came to Jesus for healing, the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus, blind Bartimaeus cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me, and the tax collector, along with several others, pray some form of this prayer that has come to be known as the Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer, which is undoubtedly the most prayed prayer throughout the entire world, not only now, but for 2,000 years of church history. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. This could be a proclamation. It could be an address. It could be an introduction, an adoration, a worship. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. It could be a question. Have mercy upon me, a sinner, a plea, a request, a repentance, a sorrowful lament. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. By the third century, different objects were used to keep track of this prayer. We're told that sometimes the saints would take a pile of pebbles and they would start praying the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, to count their prayers. Others would notch into their walking sticks so that they could run their fingers along the notches to keep track of the Jesus prayer. Eventually, the prominent thing that began to mark the praying of the Jesus prayer was the prayer rope. The prayer rope. Specifically, the chakti, which is a prayer rope that I've carried for the last 7 years. It's an Eastern Orthodox prayer rope that's made out of wool. It's black. It's got these tassels on the end that are said to be for the prayers of the people who are moved by this prayer and meditation of the Jesus prayer. It has the cross. And each one of these little knots, there are 100 little knots on this prayer rope, was tied by a monk in one of the monasteries in Greece. And it's a spiritual practice, much like an iconographer. Somebody who makes icons goes through the spiritual discipline about precisely how to paint an icon. So does the one who ties prayer ropes, go through intense spiritual formation to learn to tie this very, very tiny knot, but it actually consists of 9 miniature cross knots. And just the actual tying of these knots is very complicated and is a prayer practice. So there's 100 small knots on this, and that's called a century. Usually when I engage in this, I'll do at least 1 to 3 centuries per day of praying the Jesus prayer. And I can honestly tell you, it's at this time that people that might not be familiar with this might feel like, isn't that like repetition? Doesn't the scripture say something about that? Well, yeah, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6 that we're instructed to avoid empty phrases or meaningless repetition. But I can honestly say to you that the words in this prayer, The meditation of this phrase is not empty, nor is it meaningless. In fact, right after Jesus says that, he goes right into the instruction. Disciples, when you pray, whenever you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he teaches them to pray that prayer. Jesus, when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, prays the same prayer three times, the exact same prayer three times. In the book of Revelation, we're told that the living creatures surround the very throne of God and do not cease from crying over and over and over and over again, day and night, unending, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So there's nothing wrong with repetition. In fact, it's the repetition part of these prayers that cause us to not just pray in our mind, but let the prayer descend from the mind into the heart, the prayer of the heart. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer. And I think one other important thing is we talk about the context of lament. And that is that in that this is not connected with how many times we pray this prayer earns a certain amount of penance, okay? There's nothing connected with this work of penance. In Eastern Christian theology, there is a view, a strong biblical view, a perspective that is just a given. It's not questioned. And that is that God forgives. God forgives. God forgives. No matter what we've done, God forgives. God keeps forgiving. That's a given. The problem is that we keep sinning. We keep sinning. And in Eastern Orthodox, in Eastern theology, which I think is much more connected to biblical first century Judaism, Hebrew thinking, sin is not so much these personal moral issues. It's something much broader than that. Our sin is like an infection. Our sin is like pollution. When we engage in sin, we're not only harming ourselves, but others. In fact, all of God's created order. As God is in this movement to return to shalom and to return all of his creation to restoration, our sin gets in the way. So we have this lament. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Okay, so when you came in, you were given a prayer rope, all right? I don't have enough prayer ropes to go around, but I do have some. If somebody would like to physically, there's something about being tactile and having something in your hand. So, Julie, you want to pass those out to us? And usually when I do this, usually one or two prayer ropes end up missing, but I trust my own family here to not do that, to turn them in when we're finished. And, hey, Date, I hate to do this, but my throat is just like really dry. I've been in Arizona all this week. Yeah, it was great. Come back to this, the first week of weekend of spring, nuts. And so, what we're going to do, I put some facts on the back of this that you could take with you just to learn more about the difference in prayer ropes and things like that, and what they were for, a little bit of history. But we're going to do this practice together, and it's going to be explained right up on the screen, and we're just going to go through this. We're going to start at the cross, and it's going to tell you what to do, and we're just going to take our time moving through this prayer exercise together. And one of the reasons for the repetition is that, like I said, we quit thinking about the words and let those words descend from the mind into the heart, the prayer of the heart. And when we get to the scripture text readings, we'll just listen and reflect. Those will be read for us. And the particular practice that we're going to engage in today is called the Holy Mysteries, the Sorrowful Mysteries, and they're specifically a liturgy for the season of Lent in which we were in, all right, on the Passion of the Christ. So, and I'll use this really big prayer rope so you can kind of follow along that way in case you get lost, all right? And we can't mess this up, all right? If we do, we'll just acknowledge that and pick it up, all right? So let's just take a couple more seconds of silence. And then we'll all hit the chiming bowl three times just to draw our attention once again to the reality that we are in the presence of a triune God who loves us deeply. And then we'll begin the prayer. We start our prayers at the cross. While making the sign of the cross, we begin by praying in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's declare our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Jesus came out and went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come to the time of trial." Then Jesus withdrew from them, about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. In agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Pilate said to them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "What shall I do with the man whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. He had Jesus scourged and handed him over to be crucified.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Then the soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and they made a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat upon him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross. And they seized one Simon of Cyrene, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people, and of women who beat their breasts and wailed for him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
And they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, and there they crucified him, and they divided his garments among them, casting lots for them. And with him they crucified two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, so also the chief priests mocked him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he had breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God."
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's slow these final 10 Jesus prayers down a little bit. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Pour your grace into our hearts, O Lord, that we who have known the incarnation of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, announced by an angel to the Virgin Mary, may by his cross and passion be brought to the glory of the resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorrowing, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Eucharist, like the meals eaten by Jesus with sinners and publicans, by those that were excluded, by the outcast, the communion we partake of today is to be celebrated not exclusively among those who have tasted the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also those who have not yet tasted the goodness of the Lord God, and those who have not tasted, who have been placed at the margins of our society. This communion with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ is not just for insiders, but for all of those who've arrived, but to all of those who are pleading for mercy and crying out, have mercy upon me, a sinner.